This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. Genesis 22 verse 1 says this, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Now take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. And he said, I want you to get into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." And then in Luke chapter 24, verse 37, this is what it says. It says, "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Let us pray. Lord, as we bow our heads and hearts in your presence, I pray today that you will be the voice that speaks through us. I pray that, God, that simply I would share, "Thus saith the word." Have your will, God, have your way. May the invitation be fruitful. And for all you do, I'm going to give you glory, I'm going to give you honor, I'm going to give you praise. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name, to you come we pray, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about Isaac, Jesus, and the cross. Isaac, Jesus, and the cross. After Jesus was resurrected, he was on this earth for 40 days. And one day he was walking on a road, ladies and gentlemen, that was a road called the Emmaus Road. And he encountered two disciples. And the Bible says this in Luke 24, verse 27. It says, "And beginning at Moses." What does that mean, preacher? "And beginning at Moses." Well, you got to understand, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. So beginning at Jesus, all the way through the Old Testament, he expounded or he talked to those men about the things that were in the Old Testament that were written about him. He expounded and said, "Here in Genesis, this is about me. Here in Exodus, this is about me. Here in Leviticus, this is about me." And what I want us to do today, I want us to see from the Old Testament, Isaac, Jesus, and the cross. 2011 was a year that I'll never forget, and I certainly don't want to be disingenuous. I was with Billy Graham one time. We weren't dear close friends. I am friends with his family, friends with his children, friends with his grandchildren, but I was with Billy Graham one time. And when I was with Dr. Billy Graham, I said, "Billy Graham, there's a lot of young preachers that I mentor, and I'm going to leave here. What advice would you give me to give young preachers?" He said, "Benny, you go back and you tell young preachers to preach the cross. To preach the cross. Paul said, God forbid that I would preach anything but the cross." The great preacher Charles Spurgeon said, "If you're a preacher, read your text and make a beeline to the cross." Now today, Genesis 22, it's the story of Abraham offering up his son Isaac. But I believe it's a typology of God offering up his son Jesus for the sins of the world. Now, I want you to see some things. The first thing I want you to see is the vital birth. The vital birth. See, the birth of Jesus was miraculous. It really was. The Bible says in Isaiah 7 and 14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." See, I want you to know Mary was a virgin and God was the Father. That's why Jesus was 100% God and he was 100% man. He never sinned. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, "For he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Ladies and gentlemen, because he was perfect, he could die for your sin, and he could die for my sin. His birth was miraculous. Now, I'm not telling you that Abraham's son Isaac was virgin born. But I'm telling you it was a miracle birth. Because let me explain. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. And I'll tell you something. In that day, there was no medication. He was 100. Sarah was 90. And medicine said it can't happen. And science said it can't happen. And the ACLU said it can't happen. But God leaned over the balcony of heaven and he said it's going to happen. And you say, "Preacher Benny, what happened?" I'll tell you what happened. You had Abraham and Sarah sitting in Cracker Barrel rocking chairs and diapers hanging on the clothesline. Amen? Oh, they were the first family ever to pay the pediatrician out of the Social Security check. Amen? Because talking about old school, I mean, that's old school. He was 100. She was 90. I read about a man the other day that was in a nursing home. He was 90 years old. And he saw this lady. And he said, "I bet you can't guess my age." She said, "Take your shirt off." He did. She said, "Take your t-shirt off." He did. She said, "Flex your chest." He did. She said, "You're 90 years old." He said, "My goodness, how did you know?" She said, "You told me yesterday." Well, certainly, it was a miraculous birth. Now, you know what's amazing? Both of these births were prophesied. You know what's amazing? Both of these babies were given a name before they were born. Now, here's what's interesting. God said, "Sarah, you're going to have a baby." And she laughed. She laughed. I mean, she was 90. I mean, literally one day, Abraham looked at her and he said, "Sarah, there's wrinkles in your stockings." She said, "Abraham, I don't have any stockings on." I don't know if that happened. But she was 90. And God said, "You're going to have a baby." And she said these words, "I'm too old." And God said in Genesis 18, 14, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" And I just want to remind you folks, it's not the message, but there's not anything too hard for the Lord. Friend, you just obey him. He'll work everything out. Just obey him. Leave the consequences to him. Now, she was 90. There was another girl that was about 14. And the angel said, you're going to have a baby. She said, no, you don't understand. I've never known man because I'm too young for that. And God said to her, with God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. See, I see the vital birth, but then there's something else I see. I see the virtuous life. I see the virtuous life. Let me explain. God said, Abraham, you take your son Isaac and you offer him up. If you read the scripture, you'll notice that in Genesis 22:6, the wood was placed on Isaac's back. Well, why was that, Pastor? I'll tell you why. Abraham was 100 years old when this boy was born. Most theologians believe that Isaac was probably 30 years old. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe he was 33 years old. I believe he was 33 years old. But I do know this. If a man is 130, he's not going to make a 30-year-old do anything that he don't want to do. That boy willingly submitted to carrying that wood and lying down on that altar. Now let me say something. Jesus Christ had one purpose. It was to 100% submit to the will of his Father. Look what the Bible says. For I came down from heaven. Why did you come down from heaven, Jesus? Not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. He said, I came here to do my Father's will. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You say, Preacher Benny, did the Romans take his life? Did the Pharisees take his life? Did the Jews take his life? I want to give clarity. Nobody took his life. Nobody took his life. Because the Bible says in Matthew 26, verse 53, that while he was hanging on the cross, he could have called 12 legions of angels. You say, expound, Pastor, I will. There's 6,000 in a legion. He could have called 72,000 angels. He could have called 72,000 angels. One angel in the Bible destroyed 185,000 Assyrians. One angel destroyed 185,000 Assyrians. He had 12 legions of angels. 72,000 angels at his disposal that could have came and annihilated everything that he was going through. But he didn't call on those angels because he saw, ladies and gentlemen, humanity. He saw you and he saw me and he saw his purpose. He knew we had a debt. He knew that he had a debt that he had to pay, and it was not his debt. It was our debt. He paid a sin debt. Ladies and oh, Jesus, glory be to God. He paid a sin debt for every one of us. When I look at this story, I see a vital birth. Oh, I see a virtuous life. But I see something else, folks, and stay with me. I see a vicarious death. I read Genesis 22, verse 2 this week, and I want you to look at it. Take thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get into the land of Moriah and offer him there. I read that verse, folks, but I didn't see that verse. I saw John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Abraham, take your son. Go to Moriah. It's believed, folks. It's believed that from Mount Moriah, God reached down and picked up dust and created Adam. It's believed that God took dust from Mount Moriah and created Adam. You say, Pastor, do you know that to be emphatically? No, no, no. It's believed. But here's what I know. On Mount Moriah is where Abraham took his son Isaac and was willing to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice. Whatever became of this mountain, Pastor, whatever became of this land, a man by the name of King David purchased this property. King David literally bought this land on Mount Moriah. Now, why, Pastor, did he purchase this land on Mount Moriah? Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 3:1 that this land was purchased so Solomon's temple could be built here. Mount Moriah was purchased so Solomon's temple could be built. Do you say, Pastor, what happened on Solomon's temple? On Solomon's temple is where they would offer up sacrifices. A lamb. They would offer up a sacrificial lamb for the sins of the people. You say, well, Pastor, after Solomon's temple, it became Herod's temple. And Herod added to the temple northward. That's what Leviticus chapter 1 tells us. But as he added to the temple northward, on the north end of the temple, on the north end of Mount Moriah, is where they would offer up the blood sacrifice. So today, if you go to the Temple Mount and you go north of the Temple Mount, it's where Golgotha is. You say, Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Where Abraham offered up his son Isaac is where God offered up Jesus, the Lamb of glory. Mount Moriah is where Jesus was offered up as a sacrifice for our sin. See, you got to see something. In Genesis 22:3, the Bible says Abraham rose up and he took two men with him. When Jesus died on the cross, according to Luke chapter 23, verses 33, he was crucified between two thieves. The Bible tells us that in Genesis 22:6, the wood was placed on Isaac's back and he carried it up the mountain. In John chapter 19, verse 17, the wooden cross was placed upon Jesus' back and he carried it up to Calvary. Now look, folks, we've talked about the vital birth. We've talked about the virtuous life. We've talked about the vicarious death. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad that the story doesn't end there. I'm so grateful for the victorious resurrection. Now let me explain. In the hearts of the fathers, the sons were dead before they were dead. In the hearts of God, in the heart of God, and in the heart of Abraham, both boys were dead before they were dead. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying the cross was from the foundations of the world. Jesus was dead in the heart of God long before he was dead. Genesis 22:2, stay with me, says, and God said, take your son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, you go to the land of Moriah, and you offer him up there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I'll tell thee of. Let me explain. When God said that to Abraham, as far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was dead. Because God said, you go and you're going to offer him up as a sacrifice. Now look, I was raised by different parents than parents today. I was. My mother was patriotic. She believed in the stars and the stripes. She put on the stripes and I saw the stars. I mean, I was raised by a stepfather who'd take me to the woodshed and they'd be bloodshed. But here's what I can tell you emphatically. When I acted up and my mother or stepfather said, we'll deal with you as soon as we get home. Let me tell you something. It was done. There was no doubt about it. I knew they never changed their minds. I knew what was going to happen just as soon as I got home. Now wait, when God said this son's going to die, as far as Abraham was concerned, he was dead from the point God said it. Now let's read. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and he saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, wait, and went to the place that God had told him. Then, on the third day, in his heart, that boy had been dead for 3 days. Then, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, you abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Wait. But we're gonna come again. We're gonna come again. Wait, Pastor Benny, God had told him that he was gonna kill the boy. He was gonna sacrifice the boy. What did he mean? Here's what he knew, folks. You gotta read further. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19 says this, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he had received him in like figure. What did Abraham believe? Abraham believed that I'm going to take that boy, I'm going to place him down on that altar, I'm literally going to take a knife and I'm going to kill my boy, and he's going to be dead. But right after I kill him, because it's the third day, God's going to raise him up. Because it's the third day, God's going to raise him up. Let me tell you something. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. Hell had a party. They thought they had done away way with him. Day one passed, day two passed, and hell had a party. But I want you to know a third day came, and Jesus arose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Thank God for the third day. But wait, there's one other thing I want you to see. I want you to see the visible return. Now, this is so amazing to me, folks. And by the way, we just preached the Bible. In Genesis 22, we just read about Isaac. We read about Isaac. We read about Isaac. But wait. In Genesis 23, we can't find Isaac. He's not mentioned. Go home and read Genesis 23. You can't find him. He's not mentioned. Jesus Christ. He's resurrected. He walks around for 40 days. And then he ascends to heaven. And they couldn't find him. You can't find Isaac in Genesis 23. But in Genesis 24, he comes back on the scene. Why does he come back on the scene, Pastor, in Genesis 24? To get his bride. Somebody hold my horse while I shout. Why does he come back on the scene in Genesis 24? He comes back on the scene to get his bride. Now wait, look here. Look what happens. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time. And he lifted up his eyes, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebecca, the bride, lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. What does that mean, preacher? It means to quickly dismount. You say, preacher, what's going to happen? Well, let me tell you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with a trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm sorry for getting excited, but let me tell you something. If you're a believer, you shouldn't be looking for the undertaker. You ought to be looking for the upper taker. You shouldn't be looking for a hole in the ground. You ought to be looking for a hole in the sky. You shouldn't be looking for the Antichrist. You ought to be looking for Jesus Christ, because he is coming. We're going to leave here like Superman and come back like the Lone Ranger, amen? We're going to stand before our boss, take our loss, eat our supper, and come back on our horse. Jesus is coming! Look here, folks. Pastor, it's 2 minutes to 12 if you're on medication. Look here. Somebody said, Preacher Benny, I don't know what this world's coming to. I've watched CNN. I've watched Newsmax. I've watched Fox. I just want to get in a bunker. I'll tell you what this world's coming to. This world's coming to Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's a verse in Revelation 1 and 7. Give me just a minute. Revelation 1 and 7 says, every eye shall behold him. Every eye shall behold him. Look here. You say, Pastor Benny, are you going to sing? Yes, I am. The one I've studied about and preached about and prayed to, one day I'm going to see. I'm going to see him. Pastor, where are you going to see him at? I'm going to see him at the judgment seat of Christ. Because 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to be there at that judgment. It's not a judgment to deal with my salvation. That's settled. But it's the judgment in which crowns will be given, rewards will be given. That's the judgment I'm going to be at because I know Christ. And I don't know if I'll get a crown. I probably won't. But if I get one, I know what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to do what Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 says. I'm going to place it at his feet. And I'm going to say, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and praise, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You said, Pastor, we'll all be there, won't we? No. If you don't know Christ, you won't be there. You'll be at the great white throne judgment. Pastor, I've never heard anything like this. You'll be at the great white throne judgment. Where's this at in the Bible, Pastor? Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth fled away. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You walk up before God. Sir, I'm so sorry. Your name's not in the book. See, this is not fun and games, by the way. I'm not here to entertain anybody. I've got one purpose. I've given my life to serve Jesus till the last breath of life leaves my body. I've got one purpose. And I'm not into frolic. I'm into doing something for Jesus Christ. Somebody said, I just want a church. No, this. If you're wanting a church to be a clubhouse, you're at the wrong place. If you're just wanting for a social setting, this is not it. We're going to preach and teach the Word of God. Wait. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Say, Pastor, would you expound on that? I sure will. When a person dies and they don't know Christ, their body certainly goes to the dust of the ground, but their soul goes to hell. And at the great white throne judgment, the soul and the body is rejoined. Death and hell. You say, Pastor, I've never heard. So we go to hell and then we go to the lake of fire. Wait, wait. And death and hell were cast into the fire. Body and soul were cast into the fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the fire. You say, Pastor, that don't really make a lot of sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm in Lamar County today. You are too. And if I committed a crime, they wouldn't immediately take me to prison. They would take me to the Lamar County Jail. And I would stand before the judge. And I would be sentenced. And then I would go to prison. When a person dies without Christ, they do go to hell. And at the great white throne judgment, they're resurrected. And they stand before God. And then they're cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. This is not frolic. This is not silliness. This is very serious. Because eternity's too long to be wrong. You are going to be at a judgment. You've just got to decide which one. And I've decided because I've put my faith in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rocksprings.online.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.